Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, I'm not much of a sports fan. I would much rather listen to music or watch a movie. But sometimes the two interconnect, sports and movies. While I don't watch sports games very often, I'm not against watching a movie with sports in it. In a couple of movies that I've seen recently, there's a football play that I'm not really sure if they use in real life, but it looks pretty good and seems like a wise play in the movies. The quarterback either passes the ball to another player or takes the ball himself, and they advance up the side of the field. And as the player with the ball is advancing, another player goes out in front and blocks for that player. He blocks anyone who would attempt to tackle the player with the ball. Again, I don't know if this move has ever actually been used in a real game or if it's just one that they created for the movies, but I still think it's a good play, that it's a wise move. And this play, this idea, has been used in other areas as well. In the World Wars, convoys were used to protect merchant ships. Whether they were ships from one of the warring nations or another nation, they would be surrounded by armed ships and boats to protect them as they traveled across the seas. Again, clearing the path of any enemies for the merchant to deliver their goods. Even in our Old Testament text, this idea is given of one going out in front of another. God told his anointed servant Cyrus that he would go before him and level the exalted places. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him, the gates may be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. As we know, God can use anyone he wants to accomplish his purposes, including those who do not even believe in him. Here in our Old Testament text, we hear about God preparing to do just that in an ultimate example. Cyrus would be his chosen instrument to deliver the Israelites from their captivity to Babylon. Isaiah is written before the Israelites would go into the Babylonian captivity. The Israelites had persisted in sin such to the point that God then declares, "You will go into captivity under Babylon." But God promises that after several generations, he will deliver them. And Cyrus is his chosen instrument. He would render the nations around powerless to defeat Cyrus. And God speaks beforehand how he will do this for Cyrus. God would be like one of those football players out blocking the way for Cyrus. He would stop all other nations and kings from being able to defeat Cyrus. As it says, he would loose the belt of those kings. In those days, soldiers would gird their loins with a particular belt in preparation for war. And so what God is saying is that these kings would not even be able to gird themselves compared to how God would work through Cyrus, that Cyrus would be untouchable. These things God would do for Cyrus because he had given him his word. He promised to be with him long before Cyrus was even born. Is that not the case for us, dear friends in Christ? Has not God made promises to you even before you were born? Did he not promise that he would be with us and not forsake us for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ? Did he not promise before we were even born? To be sure, there would be those who would give up on God and his promises, both in Isaiah's time and in our own time. They would give up faith. They would stop believing. No, God had promised that there would be generations before Cyrus would come. But one can only wonder how many of those generations gave up in waiting for the Lord and his deliverance, who gave up trusting. Yet history proves that God did just as he planned. He delivered the Israelites from their captivity by the hand of Cyrus. In these last days, God has already told us by His word, scoffers will come with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where's the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In both these days and Isaiah's days, God knew that there would be those who would refuse His word, those who would scoff and mock and make fun of Him and say that He's not coming, or that he was coming too slowly. The interesting thing is that He could, did, and still does use those who scoff at Him, and He uses them for His purposes. In our text, God foretold Cyrus, I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call on you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. Here we get word that Cyrus would be used by God, despite the fact that Cyrus would not know God. It can be amazing and comforting for us as believers that God can use anyone to accomplish His purposes, even those who do not believe. But it is certainly better in the long run for those for whom God uses who do have faith. Of ourselves, we would never be wittingly or willingly used by God in His purposes to put Him first as He desires. We would be just as bad off as Cyrus if it were not for the true Anointed One, Jesus Christ, who would come following this text in the Old Testament. Jesus would come and live and die and be raised for the sins of everyone. But sadly for the Cyruses out there who scoff and choose not to believe and do not acknowledge God in faith based on His Son, it will not go well for them when Jesus returns. It may be that things go well for non-believers for a time. Even Cyrus would have a reign that other kings would not be able to stop. Yet as God points out to us, Cyrus would be used despite the fact that he did not believe. He did not believe with faith based on the Anointed One to come. God would permit things to go well for Cyrus for a time, but ultimately, because he did not believe, things would not turn out well for Cyrus. God points out Cyrus's fault and says quite explicitly and opening in our closing verses that his desire is for all to come to faith in him and to recognize that he is the only true God and the only true means of salvation. God spoke to Cyrus and all who would hear his word, saying, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This text is a prime example of why we keep the Old Testament, why we don't just put it aside, to show that God keeps His word and keeps His promises. That people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is only one way to salvation, through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, who was promised to come in the Old Testament, and in no one else. The Old Testament gives us many, many examples of God's promises. Some of them are indeed fulfilled in the Old Testament, but most of them are fulfilled in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His coming, His life, His death, and His resurrection for you and for me. Cyrus was prophesied to deliver the people of Israel from their captivity to Babylon, and God delivered on that promise. Likewise, He promised that there was and is only one God and only one way to salvation, His Son Jesus, and He will make good on that promise as well. Finally, God has promised that for all those from the rising of the sun to the west, that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who were called according to his purpose. Unlike Cyrus, you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, have been called according to God's purpose. We have heard his word, and he has called us through the Holy Spirit and through the waters of baptism to faith in him and what he has done for you and for me. And he has also sent you his Holy Spirit that you might believe it. And because you believe in his Son through the Spirit, all his promises come to fruition and completion and good for you. Even the one from Romans 8 that I just read a few moments ago, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All this is only possible and only happens in and through the true anointed one, the Messiah to come, who did come and is coming again, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.